state which will live in infamy.
Only a foolish optimist can deny the dark realities of the moment.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, what's up, man?
You want to make a little bet?
Absolutely.
All right. So now that we're almost a full week into the Biden administration and we've got the past administration behind us, and we talked a lot about the past administration last week, and a lot of people are sick and tired of hearing about the past administration and want to just focus on the new administration and not think about the past president anymore.
Who?
The past president. How about we have a little bet today?
Okay.
A little bet. So we're going to try to get through this episode without either of us saying by name the last ex-president.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And here's what's on the table.
What's on the table,
babe? Right. Whoever fucks up first and mentions the ex-president by name first.
Okay.
Must pleasure the other podcaster live on air immediately after the mistake. Okay. Deal?
Deal.
Deal.
All right.
All I had to do is say his name.
Do you want to lose?
Will you hit the pause button?
We needed to get it out before we started this episode, but it's too late now.
We did. All right. Now the pressure's on.
Okay.
Now the pressure's on. Whew. Oh, yeah, because I don't want that 5 o'clock stubble anywhere.
Been saving up all day for you, man.
Yes. Here's the challenge, everybody. And this is what I've been asked by multiple people this week. And I know, Brandon, you've been asked this, too. People are like, you know, you guys are a comedy podcast. What's funny now?
We'll make it funny. That's what we're here for. We'll be okay. Don't worry about us. Right. It's kind of what Patton Oswalt said, like, when he, just after
he's a
Bush.
Guy. Yeah.
And everyone always talked about what happens now that Bush isn't in power. And he's like, I will give that 10 minutes of material up any day of the week. So we will give up
right.
that
we're
material.
Okay.
We'll be okay. We will find something, I promise you.
I know, it's like you flip the news the last week, and it's like, oh, the government's working. People are doing their job. The Senate is discussing rules. They're even compromising on a few things.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I don't have to hold my breath to log into Twitter anymore.
Exactly.
I mean, I still get a little irate because there's still idiots out there. And you know who you are, and I'm sure our listeners know who they are too, but it's a lot less problematic on my heart. You know, now it's more of an eye roll rather than going, what the fuck is wrong with them?
Right, exactly. Oh, man. So, with that being said, this is going to be a pretty content-heavy episode. We're going to talk about three major topics today. We're going to talk about Biden's cabinet and executive administration.
Yeah, we are.
Oh, yeah, we are. Ooh. Last week, we talked a little bit about the diversity makeup of it. So if you missed that, go back and listen to Rogue Turtle. But today, we're going to be taking a little bit of deeper dive into some of the particular people that are have been appointed and confirmed. And we'll talk about that process, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's going to be topic heavy.
Topic heavy. Ooh,
yeah. So just sit back, relax.
You think I'm going to say the magic name.
I'm trying.
You're getting
I'm
all trying. Excited. You're trying to butter me up. Turn. You already get a dimmer switch on your lights here. Next. I can tell. You're trying to trick me.
Yeah.
And then we're going to talk about President Biden's executive orders.
Yes.
And we're not just going to talk about what he's doing, but we're going to talk about what executive orders are and how they work within the executive branch of government.
And you've shared your views on executive orders before in a previous episode. Long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk a little bit about our views and when I'm pretty sure they're in line because, you know. Yeah.
Now I think they're awesome. Just
turns out they're great.
Principle is principle. And I will try not to waver from that too much. But yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So Let's just get into it. There's no real segue.
There is no segue, but there is a third topic we're talking about today. That's Biden's immigration policy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, like, we're no experts.
Nope.
And so if you really want to know, here's some resources to know. But we're going to talk about it in the most basic terms. We're not going to do a really deep dive into it just because it is very policy heavy and nothing's happened yet. Biden's going to face a lot of pushback in the Senate over this bill. So what actually ends up happening versus what he's proposing will be different in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But there are some key things that give us a lot of hope, you know, for immigrants and immigration in general. So it'll
be more of a mindset rather than actual policy, I think.
Exactly. And it is a little bit of inspiring, and I think it's going to help some people out. So excited.
They're not going to take my job, are they?
Yeah, they are. They're going to take your job.
Was it Lucy C.K. said, if you're afraid of someone who can't speak English taking your job, then you should really rethink your whole skill structure.
Good name drop there on Louis C.K., by the way.
That's two comedians I've dropped today.
Well, only one of them's going to hell, FYI.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, so why don't we start with Secretary of State?
All right. So just breaking news, Antony Blinken has been confirmed by the Senate just today.
He was. It was 78-22.
Yep, 78-22. And so Antony Blinken, he was the Deputy Secretary of State and Deputy National Security Advisor during the Obama administration. He also advised Biden on national security when he was vice president. They've worked together. They're actually really good friends. So it's a combination of, you know, experience, policy.
Whoa, what'd you say?
Experience, policy, wherewithal, and trust. It's not nepotism.
Oh my God, I thought you were about to say it. You said trust.
And remember, trust and getting people that you trust that you know isn't nepotism.
No. Nepotism is when, literally, when you put your family members in positions of power. It comes from the word nepo in Latin, which means nephew.
How about that, man? Yeah. Good job.
Yeah.
Good job, man.
All that Latin class 27 years ago actually paid off for something.
Right.
Hey, I used it in a podcast.
Oh, man. That's funny. Ooh. All right. Next on our list is the Secretary of Defense, retired General Lloyd Austin. He was confirmed yesterday or over the weekend. And talk about him a little bit, Brandon.
First African-American Secretary of Defense.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a huge thing. I mean, even Colin Powell didn't get that.
Absolutely.
I mean, Colin Powell's one of the most trusted politicians or figureheads in America, and has been since.
Maybe one of the most trusted in the past 40, 50 years.
According to polls, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And again,
I'm sorry, I mean to interrupt you, but he's actually on Twitter a couple years ago because he pulled over to help somebody with their car. And the guy was like, oh my God.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
He was taking selfies with them.
Gotta love that guy. Absolutely. So again, you know, diversity only goes so far if it's just numbers and names. So hopefully we're going to see diversity of policy with this administration.
And hopefully we see some competency because we all saw Ben Carson.
Yes, absolutely. That's when you just want to say it's diversity. When
I can take your heart out of your chest, but I have no idea about housing. Hey, want to redo my office?
So yeah, let it soak in, guys. We're actually getting people that have experience with their jobs. And I would love to see the confirmation votes of the previous president's administration against these 22 people who voted against the Secretary of State. Like, where...
I was wondering that, too, and I really think it has to do with just being on the record that you were against Biden.
I think so. Yep, yeah. Because Blinken, there's nothing really controversial about him. He's pretty much a career diplomat kind of dude.
Yeah.
You know, boring, dry.
Very boring.
Yeah.
I mean, he was actually an advisor in the Clinton administration for a little bit.
Yeah, that's right. He did go back to the Clinton administration, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yep. And I think he even advised Bush a little bit.
Probably. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just because he's been around for so long.
Yeah, a lot of these career people, these career bureaucrats or diplomats, I mean, they work across the spectrum.
Yeah.
It's not always a political position.
Yeah, it's not a tabloid career. I mean, he just brushes his hair, takes a shower, and goes to work.
It's not a tabloid career?
No.
How about that?
Exactly. So, and then, wow, I didn't know he was in the... I didn't know retired General Lloyd Austin was in the military for 41 years.
That's almost as long as I've been alive. I'm 47 years old.
Holy shit.
Right.
That dude has a bedtime and a wake-up time for sure.
He's been in the military longer than you've been alive.
Right.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. That's,
yep.
That takes a lot.
That's neat. First African-American Secretary of Defense, first female vice president, all within the last week.
Yeah.
You know?
There's some real change coming.
There is real change coming, and it's really exciting, and it's really just... I feel honored to, like, live in a time period of experiencing this. It just makes me feel a little bit more whole than it did the last few years.
We've kind of done a 180, really, from the past administration to now.
Absolutely. Like,
within 2 weeks.
Yeah. It
really feels different.
Mm-mm-mm. So, still awaiting confirmation is the Secretary of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, and he was Deputy Secretary of Homeland Security during Obama's second term. He was also Obama's Director of U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services for about 3 years or 4 years. If he becomes confirmed, which I believe he will by the same margins that we've seen already, he would be the first immigrant and Latino to hold the position.
So we're having one of those immigrants take care of the homeland?
What? Wait, he can't build himself in the wall. What do we do now?
Oh, we're fucked. Truly fucked.
So that's exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, just going down this list and looking at the diversity and the qualification, you don't have to sacrifice one for the other. We talked about that last week.
Let's see. He advised the president on security issues in the United States in charge of immigration, border-related issues. Mm-hmm. The Coast Guard, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, counterterrorism, aviation security, and cybersecurity. Wow, that's a lot.
FEMA? He's in charge of the FEMA death camps, isn't he?
He is.
I just thought, both extreme sides of the ideological scale claim FEMA death camps exist. And they refer to some vague, like, Google map of, like, a bus depot in the middle of nowhere. Right.
Dave, we're in trouble because we're going to get our honky tickets and we're going to go to the FEMA. The FEMA honky prison. The FEMA honky prison.
I'm in. I've never seen a honky prison, but I want to see one.
We'll be line dancing in no time. Let me Garth Brooks.
Let me go put my new pair of Wranglers on. Let me press them with the iron first. Oh, man.
Instead of cigarettes, it's going to be chewing tobacco as currency.
Oh, man. Also confirmed, Avril Lavigne. Just kidding. Avril Haines, Director of the National Intelligence. First woman to head that, which is awesome.
Damn, so we're like 3 for 4 as new.
Right. And she also worked under Obama and Biden when he was the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. So she also has a lot of experience. She was Obama's principal deputy national security advisor and deputy director of the CIA. So those are some high-ranking jobs that she's held over the past at least 12 years.
Do you think she'll have to give her daily briefings with a coloring book?
No. Turn off the TV. Turn off the TV.
Damn it. Somebody give me the Crayola again. Jesus.
He might have to wake up Joe Biden. She might have to wake up Joe Biden.
That's fine.
But at least he'll pay attention when he's awake. And that's a big job. I mean, you're advising the president every single day. That's very close to the National Security Advisor. You know, you work hand-in-hand with that person.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure their briefings overlap quite a bit.
Exactly. That's usually the daily morning briefing that they get first time when they wake up in the morning is that. So, yeah.
Hey, Mr. President, this is what you burned down today. This is who hates you now. All right, so moving on.
Yep.
Ambassador to the United Nations. She has not been confirmed yet. Mm-hmm. And that is Linda Thomas-Greenfield. She represents President at the United Nations, advises on international affairs.
Mm-hmm. So she will, what's important about her job is that now that the United States has a kind of a tarnished reputation inside of the UN and in a lot of these world organizations like the World Health Organization and whatnot, you know, she is really has a main job of working with the new Secretary of State and rebuilding relationships. That's really going to be her impetus for the next few years, is reestablishing
just the foreign goodwill and the foreign relations.
Exactly.
With leaders.
I think people don't realize how much rebuilding the State Department has to do just with their people. Because a lot of career diplomats quit. They got fired. They have private jobs now. Making more money. They're not there anymore.
Yeah.
The previous administration, you know, really got rid of a lot of those people. And it's not going to happen overnight.
Excuse me.
That's okay.
Yeah, let's see, I got choked up with it.
But yeah, I think you're right. It's not going to happen overnight, but I think just their mere presence is going to help a lot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Just being different and just having confident and people that know what they're doing.
Period.
Yeah.
Right. Like we've said all along, this election is a big, giant, fat, red reset button.
Yeah, it's going back to where foreign diplomats and foreign leaders are going to trust, but he's not going to flip-flop as much. He's not going to change his mind over Twitter the next morning. He's not going to do whole foreign policy rollouts over fucking Twitter.
Right. It's already making our country safer because there's more stability.
Yeah.
Anybody that knows anything about foreign relations, instability causes violence, causes problems, causes whatever, you know.
Yeah, we've mentioned this before, is instability is the number one harm to the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are afraid what they don't know.
Exactly.
And people lash out when they're afraid.
Cold War, for instance, mutually assured destruction.
Yep.
Everybody fell in line. Everybody knew what the risk was. So, in a lot of ways, that kind of stability is something that, you know, you're never going to have that kind of stability anytime soon. A Cold War type of stability. But just knowing what the policy is a starter.
Yeah. just be like, I know I can get away with this, but if I do this, that's the line.
Mm-hmm. You
know? Yeah. And, of course, each situation represents a different way of dealing with something, but again, it's that stability, that that everyone just knowing how the other's going to react. A proportional response is what they call
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah.
Are we being funny?
Fuck no, dude.
Oh, man. I'm just excited.
Yeah.
So let's jump to economics.
Yay.
Yeah. Let's talk about...
We're not being funny. You know what we need to do? Let's get in the economic part of the show.
Yeah, let's...
Economic policy really tickled my ribs.
Yeah. I know. We're going to make all kinds of jokes about the U.S. Trade Representative job and those. Right. So we have our very first ever female Secretary of the Treasury. Take it away about Janet Yellen.
Oh, Janet Yellen was chair of the Federal Reserve from 2014 to 2018. She was also chairwoman of the White House Council of Economic Advisors during the Clinton administration.
She was the chairman of the... I thought... Alan Greenspan was still the Federal Reserve chairman at the age of 182.
Hey, you know, interest rates really keep the blood going.
They do. So, the chairman of the Federal Reserve is like really the top economic job in the country. You have more pull than with any other position, really.
Yeah, and
you determine monetary policy.
You do, and it's really supposed to be independent. Mm-hmm. Probably the most independent of the cabinet jobs because you have they're the lever of how to get the economy going or how to pull it back. Because sometimes you don't want the economy to get too ahead of itself because it creates bubbles.
Yeah,
bubbles,
it causes inflation, things like that. It causes what we saw in 2008.
So they're like the train conductor.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
All right, we're going around the curve. Let's pull back. Okay, now we're on a straight. Let's go.
slow and steady wins the race. Exactly.
It keeps us secure.
Like you said, when you see breakdowns in that, you see like the housing market crash of 2008.
Yeah. And the housing market crash was really perpetuated by lack of oversight.
It
was,
absolutely.
The government just went, yeah, you guys can do whatever you want lending those mortgages. You can double them up in the subprime mortgages. Fine, we'll give you the stamp of approval. And it was a huge oversight.
And hopefully we've learned now that any sound fiscal policy, any fiscal or monetary policy has appropriate regulation to make sure it doesn't get out of control. Regulation is not a bad word. No. It can have overreach.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's not a bad word. It's needed, especially now because there hasn't been any.
Absolutely. I mean, all right, if you really want to put it in movie terms, imagine Gordon Gekko from Wall Street not having laws.
Yeah.
To kind of pin him down.
Right, exactly.
Imagine that slimy motherfucker just goes, I'm in charge now, motherfuckers. I mean, of course, it's gonna be chaos, and it's only going to benefit one person, him.
Right,
this
right.
is why we have these laws, because the economy isn't meant for these Wall Street types to take it. Wall Street takes advantage of the economy with their stock, and they gamble on the economy.
Right.
You don't want them leading the economy.
Right.
Because they're just going to make it better for themselves. They're going to skew the odds of the casino to their favor, not yours.
Exactly. Right.
And
right.
when you're just going, hey, I just wanted to buy a hotel room in the casino just so I could live, you know, not betting on it. That's why we have oversight.
Yep.
And yes, like you said, it can overreach, and that's when we have the debate.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So Janet Yellen, first female Secretary of the Treasury ever, she dates back to the Clinton administration. She was on the White House Council of Economic Advisors, so she has a ton of experience. But what I didn't realize today as I was researching her position, all of the other cabinet-level positions that are economic primarily, the Council of Economic Advisors, the U.S. Trade Representative, the Secretary of Commerce, and the chief of the Small Business Administration, all women. Every single last one of them.
Whoa. I didn't realize that either. That's crazy.
What do you mean women are in charge of the checkbook over there at Pennsylvania Avenue? What the hell's going on?
You know, Mitch Bell.
I just gave up the filibuster and the majority in the Senate. I have fucking bullshit.
You know women can't read, Mitch Bell.
Well, they're in charge now. Where did you come from? Yeah, and just tons of diversity. Catherine Tai, the U.S. Trade Representative, she would be the first woman of color to hold her position. Gina Raimondo, Secretary of Commerce. She has a lot of experience. She's the governor of Rhode Island. She's founded a venture capital firm.
Hardest of all governors.
Right, Rhode
Governors.
You can run across the state in 2 seconds.
All three of you, stop it. Let's work this out.
And she was the state's general treasurer. So she has executive experience. She has private business experience. She has executive branch experience in the Treasury Department in her home state. Yeah, all three of them. Rhode Island's bigger than you think. Do we need a lesson on population density?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
More people than Alaska.
Well,
probably.
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 You almost had me convinced.
That's one of those places I've never been or actually thought to go to. I'm sure it's a nice place, but Rhode Island.
Yeah, I've never.
What I want to do, I want to speed through it as fast as possible and see how quickly I can get across. Yeah.
Probably pretty quick.
I would think the Rhode Island police are kind of polite.
Oh, there he goes. Oh, he's out of jurisdiction.
Does anything bad happen in Rhode Island?
Other than it being Rhode Island.
Yeah.
No, I really know nothing about Rhode Island.
Neither do I. It's a little fucking state. Who cares?
Yeah, whatever.
Actually, they vote Democratic every time in the Electoral College. So they do matter.
One electoral vote.
Three. I get three.
Hey, that's as many as Nebraska.
Yeah. Yeah. You're guaranteed three.
All right, so Chief of Small Business Administration, Isabel Guzman. She is Director of California's Office of the Small Business Advocate. She was Senior Official at the Small Business Administration during the Obama administration. Early in her career, she was advisor at Pro America Bank.
Hmm.
Huh.
So I'm just in awe of all this qualification. It's like, people are like, you're reading their qualification. Yeah, it's fucking awesome. You know, private experience, public experience, political experience dating back to the Clinton and Obama administrations, working across the aisle in the Bush administrations. I mean, this is diversity, not just with race and gender, but this is diversity with experience and politics and private and public. It's,
you know what's going to get criticized, though?
What?
That it's a hallmark back to the Obama administration. That socialist Muslim.
Oh, yeah, the socialist Muslim. I forgot about him.
Yeah. These are all his zealots, his socialist zealots.
You know what it was nice to see, though? Joe Biden this weekend going to church, because he's the first church-going president since Jimmy Carter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is, isn't he? Mm-hmm.
And I just love all the people up there. Like, just think the former president was like the epitome of Christianity.
Yeah.
Maybe a call. You wanted me to say his name.
I did. I got all choked up there.
Yep. No, you'll get choked up. All right.
Yeah, I don't understand that facade of the former president being the savior or the savior's pick. I don't get it. Why? What? Like, what?
Yeah. The most immoral human being. Yeah. We got to talk about that.
Yeah, we've talked about it. Yeah.
All right.
We're done. All right.
Attorney General.
Oh, Merrick Garland.
Merrick Garland.
This is...
You take this one, because I'm excited as you are, but you've just been juicing over this for 2 weeks.
This is Biden taking Mitch McConnell out to the Rose Garden, giving him the big middle finger, turning his ass around and kicking it and saying, that's what you fucking get.
Exactly.
Turtle.
And for those of you who forget, Merrick Garland was Obama's pick for the Supreme Court a full year before his term expired, where Mitch McConnell used his power in the Senate to not even hold hearings.
Because they said it was too close to the election.
So this is great. And the Attorney General is the legal advisor to the president.
Yeah. It's the top lawyer in the land.
Yeah. So like when we're going to talk about the executive... I can't think. Signings. Bring me the Sharpie. Orders. The executive orders. Merrick Garland is going to be the one who says, you can do this, you can't do this. So, but Dave, he's not confirmed yet. He can still advise Joe Biden. There's no rule that says a person can't come in and give you legal advice.
Yeah. And for those of you who don't understand or quite get the stature of the Attorney General, check out the movie... The Chicago Five on Netflix, where Michael Keaton plays the Attorney General in the 70s, and the judge is just beside himself because it's the Attorney General of the U.S. That is how big of a deal it made the judge starstruck, almost. And that's what it does. It's the Attorney fucking General.
Right, right.
So, and him to be a previous...
It's the most highly coveted position besides being on the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
You know?
And for Biden to pick... Merrick Garland is just...
It's a mic drop.
It is. I'm not fucking around.
Yeah.
So, here we go.
Right.
Fuck you, Mitch McConnell. I think the Biden administration, along with the Democrats in the Senate and the House, especially with Schumer and Pelosi, I think they've taken to heart the lessons that Obama administration has given, where they were like, all right, we're going for partnership. And they got... royally fucked on it, so they're going, okay, we're gonna get our shit through, then maybe we can talk.
Right, exactly.
So, I think that unity kind of aspect may come. I don't think Biden's really pushing for it. I think he's saying it. I think they're hollow words, to be honest.
Okay.
From the Democrats. Mm-hmm. I really think it's like, we got 2 years to do this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Right.
And I honestly... think it's a big middle finger to Mitch McConnell, and I think that's why he's giving up ground right now.
Exactly.
Because he's going, oh, fuck.
Absolutely. And 2 years isn't a long time.
No.
You know?
No, it's not.
Election season will be ramping up in 1 year from now.
They're going to start fundraising tomorrow.
Exactly. Exactly. They already are. All right. Well, so we're trudging through these picks, but there are more.
Ooh.
Yeah. So confirmation still needed for Xavier Becerra for Secretary of Health and Human Services. He would be the first Latino to head this department. The previous administration would never let you realize this, but Health and Human Services is kind of important these days.
No. Why? Yes. What's going on?
He oversees the CDC.
Oh, we fired
Medicare
them.
And Medicaid. FDA, National Institutes of Health, all those little things that, you know, they might matter someday, like if we ever have like a major pandemic or something. If that happens, then the federal government and the executive would definitely put into action, you know, what would be needed to take care of the American people. But thank God.
Thank you, that Jesus, hasn't happened. That he put someone in place.
Yeah, thank you, really, Jesus. Stop that. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. Now I got the damn hiccups.
Off topic, real quick. Have you seen Fauci recently?
Oh, he's going off.
He looks like a 12-year-old that just broke into the candy store.
Yeah, he's going off. Totally going off. Even Deborah Birx is much more reserved, but she's like, yeah. They put up posters and signs and things that I'd never seen before, and they just weren't true.
Yeah. And this will speak close to your heart, Dave.
Yeah.
He was on Rachel Maddow last week.
I saw it.
Yeah, and he actually said, I was barred from coming on your show.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. She pushed him pretty hard, too.
She did.
He pushed back a little bit. Yeah. That was cool. It was a really good interview.
Yeah, yep. It was. I caught the highlights and didn't watch the full thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He wasn't allowed to do those things.
He with Fauci, he's more than happy to answer your questions and just sit there and talk. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he'll admit if he doesn't know. He's like, this, as far as we know, this is the best practice.
And he's been doing this for over 40 years. Right. I mean, he is doing this for the civic good and nothing else.
If he was going to quit, he would have quit.
He is as non-political as possible. I mean, Jesus. You know, and the only reason he didn't quit is because he knew he was one of the few semblances of normalcy and truth, you know, representing the federal government response. He couldn't quit. I think he felt that duty.
I do too. Mm-hmm. I think he actually said that as well. But could you imagine just going to your job and being called a liar?
You know what he needs to get? Day? This would drive the former president insane. Nobel Peace Prize. Anthony Fauci. Oh, yeah. Let's start that. And Time Man of the Year. Person of the Year. I'm sorry. Time. Person of the Year. Not Man of the Year.
And,
I just said a sexist thing.
The Presidential Medal of Freedom.
And the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Yeah. Let's give him every award.
Yeah.
T-Ball Champion 2021.
Let's make it an Anthony Fauci Award.
Kind of like how people want to name the Comeback Player of the Year Award after Alex Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same thing. All right, let's see here. HUD, Marsha Fudge. She is actually an Ohio rep. She used to be the chair of the Congressional Black Caucus and former mayor in Warrensville Heights, Ohio. So she has a decent amount of experience. She oversees mortgage and loan insurance through the FHA. When we, you know, with the income disparity and the education gap and a lot of the things that we're seeing happening with poverty right now with the pandemic and, you know, all the bad things that have happened over the last 4 years, her job is going to be, I think, elevated. And very important, especially since the past HUD person had no experience.
And especially with the economy as it is, with the pandemic raging, people literally losing their home.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. Yep. I mean, this covers, like, you know, the issues with rent and evictions and Section 8 housing, everything. She's going to be very, very, very busy.
She is.
And the busiest Marsha Fudge I've ever known.
Are we funny yet?
No, we're not funny. We got to get through this shit. Okay. We're not going to go through every single fucking name. Okay. We just want to, I want to point out Secretary of Labor, Marty Walsh. He is a pro-union, old school, East Coast, AFL-CIO, kick you in the nuts kind of dude. Not the most progressive, but he is endorsed by the NEA, who I'm a member of, proudly. So, yay for Marty Walsh.
Yay.
Then there's this little short mayor from Indiana who for some reason got a position in the Biden administration as a Secretary of Transportation. I don't know. His name is, I think he is Colombian. He's Pete Buttigieg. Tell me about this.
Very good pronunciation, Dave.
White Venezuelan.
The whitest Venezuelan I've ever seen.
Right.
So it's Pete Buttigieg. I call him PDB. He was a former primary candidate for Democratic president.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean. And your first choice.
And my first choice, actually, yeah. I actually heard him speak on NPR, and it was, he's back.
The worst fucking. This might be the worst. I'm all a fluster. Oh, Brandon.
But he's very eloquent and very well spoken. He actually spoke to the topics, which none of the candidates were doing at the time, even Biden.
Right, right.
And if you've seen him during Biden's campaign, he went on Fox News repeatedly and destroyed them.
Yeah.
Even they were like, well, this guy's pretty good.
Yeah. He had a pretty good interview with Chris Wallace, too. He did. Jamming.
Yeah. He's a veteran. He did at least one tour in Afghanistan. He was a lawyer there, but he still went on the ground. And he's openly gay, which I don't know if anybody in the cabinet has been openly gay before.
Off the top of my head, I do not know.
No. But he had a great, great line when asked if the former president would leave the White House if he lost. He said, well, it'd be very awkward when me and Chase move in. Chase is his husband.
Yeah. Oh, that would be great.
But he is an openly gay and married, and he became mayor of South Bend, Indiana.
Yep.
Which is, to me, like, huh.
It's a dichotomy to say the least.
Yeah, it's like, wow. What the hell? I mean, he's had his own...
I wouldn't even call him up-and-coming anymore. People know who he is. Yep. He's Obama-esque in a lot of ways.
Yes.
And it'll be interesting to see what happens in 4 years.
He's like the great white hype. The great white Obama. The great white
Obama. All right. So, Secretary of Energy, Jennifer Granholm, female. Not the first female Secretary of Energy. Secretary of the Interior, Deb Haaland.
This is intriguing.
The very first Native American person in a cabinet role.
We've said it before. That needs to be a constitution amendment.
Right. No shit. So she's been in the New Mexico House of Representatives. She's one of the first two Native American women to serve in Congress ever. So she's groundbreaking.
Yep.
It's amazing. The original inhabitants. Of America are finally being represented for once.
Not just represented, but put in places of power where they can change things.
Exactly. And the Department of Interior, I think, is a good starting point.
It's obviously a natural... It's 200 years too late, but yeah.
Right. So as we've said all along, it's about diversity of people, but it's also about diversity of policy, and hopefully we'll start seeing some of this. We're going to have a new director of the EPA that actually doesn't hate the environment. This is fucking awesome.
It helps.
Right. You're not trying to dismantle the organization you're in charge of, the agency that you're in charge of.
So what you're saying is he likes air.
He likes it, right. The Secretary of Education actually likes learning.
Is
a public education advocate, was a teacher, is currently a superintendent, was a principal. Actually knows how to learn the kids.
Back the fuck up. He was a teacher. So he actually has roots in education.
Right.
And kind of knows what he's talking about.
He knows what he's talking about.
If he implements a policy, he can probably see it.
Radical liberal qualified agenda. I'm going to start calling it radical liberal.
Yeah, he can imagine how it would actually affect the classroom. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yes.
You fucking comment.
Understands equity, understands learning and achievement gaps. You don't know what it's been like being an educator dealing with 4 years of Betsy DeVos.
Well, I've listened to you for 4 years, yes.
I have news to break to you. It's been 5 months, not four years.
No, we hung out way before that. This is the first time we've talked politics, Dave.
So... there's many other... And that pretty much summarizes the main... cabinet positions. Yep. There's CIA director. There's all kinds of other executive positions, but we'd be here till midnight, and you will, if you haven't turned us off yet, you'd be turning us off if we continued to go down the list. So, a nice little hilarious segue between segments as we get ready to talk about executive orders. How about some silly headlines from today?
Yeah.
The MyPillow Nazi guy is banned from Twitter. That's a good one.
After having a private meeting with the former president about starting martial law.
Yes.
And we know this because he couldn't hide his notes.
Right. Yeah. A good old-fashioned junta. Or a push. Yeah.
No, junta sounds foreign.
Oh, man.
Stephen Miller would be upset.
He would be. He'd be looking up like, junta? How do you pronounce this word? So Kellyanne Conway, she's been accused by her 16-year-old daughter. Apparently, her 16-year-old daughter took a nude picture of herself, and then Kellyanne took her phone and posted it or something crazy like that. So we don't know yet if that's true or if the daughter's like trying to blackmail her. But, you know.
Yeah.
It sounds very Conway-esque.
Don't put a past her.
Oh, absolutely not.
You read the headline, you know, I can see that.
Absolutely. Mom and dad hate each other.
That is a weird marriage.
It's a very weird marriage. Yeah.
I don't understand why, but then again, whatever. It's fine. It's their marriage, I guess. But you're kind of fucking up your kid, too.
Yeah.
Kind of sucks.
Guess who's going to run for Arkansas governor, too?
Oh, shadow eyes yourself.
Oh, yeah. Old smoky eye Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I guess 1 year of lying for the most powerful person in the world qualifies you to be a governor of a state.
Yeah. You can lie to a whole state.
Or having an evangelical daddy who plays bass guitar, but... interestingly, doesn't like people of color.
You know what's weird? I saw Huckabee on Fox News somehow. I don't remember how. And he was playing bass with Ted Nugent.
Oh, God.
And he's a religious guy, right?
Yeah. He's an evangelical. Pastor? Yeah, he's a pastor. Yeah. He's one of those crazy Midwestern Bible...
You know what song they were playing?
No.
Cat Scratch Fever.
No way.
Which is all about Ted Nugent going out because he wants pussy.
Right.
That's what it means. That's what Cat Scratch Fever means. Yeah. And there he is, just playing right by. I mean, he played pretty well, actually. I was kind of impressed. I was like, yeah, he's keeping
up. Are you telling me evangelicals are two-faced motherfuckers? Are you saying that here on FDR's Wheelchair, many evangelicals are two-faced motherfuckers?
We would never start a podcast like that.
No.
Looking at you, Fall Wells.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he's a goddamn hypocrite. Or he's too stupid to realize what the song was about, one of the two.
I think he didn't know. He's stupid.
Yeah, he's pretty dumb.
Yeah.
How many times did he run for public office?
A lot. Yeah. It didn't win many.
Oh. That's why he said Fox News. But yeah, he's a good bass player.
Yes, he is. All right. If it isn't already hilarious enough.
Yeah.
We's going to start talking about some executive orders. So, in your face, former president, live by the Sharpie, die by the ballpoint pen. Biden's in town.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
We're going to sign real pieces of paper with real pens, with real words on them that do real fucking things. How about them apples?
Well, the problem is Trump...
Oh! Get under.
Did I fully say it?
You said it completely.
Oh, fuck.
Live on FDR's Wheelchair.
God damn it.
Under the table.
All right.
All right, we're done. Man, that was great. Oh, it doesn't take much time. Yeah. Oh, man, is your head okay? Your head's bleeding.
What? Where am I?
Oh, does that mean I can say it now? I'm not going to.
No. It's every time you say it.
Every time you say it. Well, if you say it again, could you wait a good 20 minutes? And let me drink a lot of water.
You want a sandwich?
A sandwich, yeah. Not a sandwich, a sandwich. 20 minutes, glass of water, I'll be ready to go. All right, you can say it all you want to. Yeah. It's going to be a rough going.
Where's PDB when you need him?
Oh, dude, take that back, motherfucker.
No, he's too good for you.
Oh, man. God.
Oh, Jesus. All right, executive order.
Maybe Stephen Miller. All right. So here's the thing. Presidents have been doing executive orders since the beginning of time. The president with the most executive orders of all time was, drum roll, FDR, clocking in at 3,721 executive orders. So here's the deal. We just got done talking about the cabinet. The executive branch executes the laws, carries out the laws. Not just the laws that are currently being made, but every single law that's ever been made that's on the books. Okay? So the departments and their secretaries and the bureaucracy, that is the meat and potatoes of the government doing the work to carry out the laws. How do you carry out the laws? One way is to let the departments simply work on their own to figure it out, okay? And that's what how it happens most of the time. You put people in positions of power that know what they're doing, so the president doesn't have to worry about it. They simply give the president advice. The president, in turn, can issue executive orders, which is not legislation, okay? You will hear people that are against executive orders say they're legislating from the executive branch. That's not true. They're operating within the scope of the law, sometimes pushing it to the spirit of the law to create policy to actually make things happen. Now, we've talked about this issue before in FDR's wheelchair, and there have been many examples in our country's history of there being overreach of this power.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Republicans cited Obama with doing too much, even though Bush did more in his first term than Obama did in two terms.
Absolutely. Yep.
So it's just basically whose side you're on.
Absolutely. They all do it. And has it increased the power of the executive branch over time? It has. But at the same time, it doesn't mean it's not like power that has no check and balance on it. The legislature can pass laws to curtail executive orders. Or just
straight up undermine it.
Absolutely. Underfund it. Yep. Cut out the funding. They can do that. And then also the federal judiciary can deem things to be unconstitutional. So it's not like it's this free-for-all where the president is just signing random pieces of paper saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Like we just talked about, the attorney general is the one who sits there and basically gives green lights to executive orders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when the importance of attorney general.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people say it's the president's lawyer. He's not supposed to be, but kind of is.
Right. Oh, so, as you know, over the last week, President Biden has signed a lot of executive orders. And as of the research that I did today...
Oh, what was that?
What was that? God speaking? The research that I did today, there's been 33 executive orders to date.
Damn.
Yeah, that's a lot. With about half of them dealing with COVID-19. And I found something that's very interesting and kind of haunting. So a lot of the executive orders that Biden has done have been Trump reversals. So for instance, restoring collective bargaining power, reversing the ban on transgender Americans joining the military.
Do you know that transgenders on a whole serve twice as much as regular, like the regular population?
Really?
Yeah.
How about that? Mm-hmm. So they're heroes and they're patriots.
Yeah.
Like all of our service members. Interesting.
Yeah.
Going back to the World Health Organization.
See, we're funny.
That deserves a blowjob. Hold on. You could say the T word all you want. But as I was looking through these, the withdrawal, the going back into WHO and reversing the traveling ban, every other COVID executive action is not a reversal. It is new.
Really?
Yeah. And when I looked at these, so I'm just going to read some of them.
Okay.
All right? I'm ready. And if I get really excited, all of them. And this all has to do...
Settle down, Dave.
...with the coronavirus or the economy related to the coronavirus.
Okay.
Calling for assistance to those who are struggling to buy food or missed out on stimulus checks or are unemployed. Accelerating manufacturing and delivery of supplies for vaccination, testing, PPE. Directing FEMA to expand reimbursement to states to fully cover the cost for National Guard. Establishing the Pandemic Testing Board to expand COVID testing capacity. establishing a preclinical program to boost development of therapeutics in response to pandemic threats, enhancing the nation's collection, production, sharing, and analysis of coronavirus data, directing FEMA to create federally supported community vaccination centers, directing the Department of Education and Homeland Security to provide Health and Human Services to provide guidance for safely reopening schools, calling on OSHA to release clear guidance on COVID-19, requiring mask wearing in airports and public federal grounds, creating the COVID-19 Health Equity Task Force, and there's a bunch of other ones too. None of them are reversals. What does that say to you?
Biden getting shit done.
Yep, and what does that say about the previous administration?
That what he did was meaningless.
They pretended that COVID didn't exist.
Yeah.
That's the scary thing. And I heard them say last week when they went in to evaluate vaccine distribution at the federal level, they were expecting to fix a lot of problems, and they were shocked when there were no problems to fix because there was no plan.
Yeah. Nothing. Just nothing. No implementation, no distribution. Just, it wasn't even bad. It was just non-existent, right. Which is even worse.
A fucking 9/11 happens every single day with COVID. And the federal government and the old administration is sitting there pretending that it doesn't exist, spewing out fake data, you know, while Anthony Fauci and Deborah Birx have to sit there awkwardly trying to preach real science in the face of...
And getting called liars and conspiracy
virus, right.
And it's a hoax. And you know, COVID has almost killed double as many Americans as World War II combat has.
Wow. I mean, those numbers are mind-blowing, you know? And again, it's natural to, like, get behind something like a war where there's, like, a visible enemy that you can't relate to. Often in war, you feel that way. Like, you know, with the Gulf War or the war on terrorism.
There's a visible target and a visible goal.
Yeah, you can buy a bunch of flags and run around and chant USA and doing all that stuff. It's not as fun with a virus.
No.
There's no visible human enemy.
I mean, the COVID fatigue is real.
It is real.
I really do understand that. If you're single and you're in your apartment working from home, God, that's got to be fucking killer.
Right. It's horrible. It's horrible.
It's got to be playing with you.
But wearing a mask is much more patriotic than putting a flag on your pickup truck.
Yeah.
Getting dirty.
Yeah. It means you care about the others around you.
Exactly.
And if it's, you know, people say, what is this mask really doing? What are we doing this for? Government can't. But at the end of the day, it really is all we can do as the general population. It's the least we can do, and it's all we can do. It's all we've got.
Yeah.
Just put a fucking mask on.
Right.
It sucks, but...
Yeah.
That is our weapon against it, and that's all we've got.
Right.
That's all we have.
It's the number one way to prevent the disease from spreading.
Yeah.
So put on your fucking mask, you know?
Yeah.
But
there we go. That's the country that we live in.
Yep. So that's a lot of stuff.
You mean we can't send 18, 19-year-olds to war? Shit. And we have to take responsibility for it.
I know. We actually have to do it. It literally creating things from scratch. So it's really important to get these cabinet nominees in position so they can start doing work. Because the bureaucracy has to start turning wheels immediately.
Yes.
Yeah. 100 days, we're now at 94 days. Let's go, man.
Yeah.
And that's what he's trying to do, you know? A few other really cool ones. Executive order rescinding the 1776 commission.
I haven't read it, but I've heard it's just utter trash.
Have
you read it?
I've read the bullet point version of it, but basically it was going to like force school curriculums to teach the most antiquated Founding Fathers version of American history, to downplay slavery. Just dog and pony show. Ridiculous stuff. So it reverses that. Requires non-citizens to be included in the census. That's another one. So a bunch of good things.
Oh, you mean the Constitution?
More like a con-shit-tution.
We're funny.
Yeah. But these executive orders are exciting. He's not legislating from the Oval Office. He's actually putting the government to work, which he's supposed to do.
And he's doing other things, like he's making the federal fleet of cars.
Yeah.
All electric.
Absolutely.
I think it was like 600,000 or something like that. All cars have to be electric now.
Yep, they have to be, and the technology has to be made here in America.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's doing the Buy American thing, so all federal agencies have to buy American unless they have a waiver.
Republicans, we call that America First.
Yeah. Which like for real. Previous administration had implemented. They didn't do very well because everyone was like, so what does it mean to buy Americans? Does it mean 51% like it had in the past,
right.
Or is it 60%? But Biden's actually putting details into it. Mm-hmm. And if you get a waiver, you have to explain why that waiver is, and you have to announce that you have a waiver.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Details matter. That's the only way you can get it done. You know?
Government's full of details because the devil's in the details.
Exactly. You know? Ideas only go so far.
Right. Obama. But he's also really scaling back on the use of private prisons in America, and he actually wants to get rid of them.
Yes.
Which is fantastic. And he is trying to roll back police getting military-grade weapons.
That they don't need.
That they don't... No. It says to protect and serve.
Right.
Not to...
Yeah.
It's,
we have Guard. We have National Guard. We have State National Guard.
I was thinking about this
today. Air National Guard.
And you have police with military weapons. It's kind of like the Transformer movie when the Decepticon...
Yeah.
And it's like to ensnare and enslave or something like that. It's like, yeah, that's kind of what they're turning into. And I was also thinking, they're called state troopers.
Right.
That's a military. There's a siren in the background. Do you hear this?
There is. That's great. It's like that one time when there was thunder and lightning during the episode. Right. Holy fuck, they're coming.
And And if you look at those uniforms, they're very militaristic.
Oh, yeah. The gray with the hat.
The hat. They're designed to intimidate you. And that's not what cops should be. I know they...
With the Biden aviators.
Right. Their mustache.
Oh, yeah.
Not
the
boy.
Single mustache. Yeah, Reno 911 is really fucking scary, Brandon. Lieutenant Dingle makes me shake. In a good way.
But yeah, I think making the police more accessible and more human... Is
absolutely. It helps the police too. It helps them relate to the people that they serve and protect.
Yeah,
you know, building relationships is part of being a cop. You know, I know a guy who works for a local police department that works in a very rough period of town, and most of his job is building relationships with the people in the community. So when they need you and you need them, they've got your back.
Right.
It's not a perfect system, but a fucking tank and an AK-47 doesn't. Help build a relationship.
Nope.
Yep.
It makes people afraid of you.
Yeah. And the private prison system is a huge deal. We talked about that on our previous episode. Yeah. Which episode was it?
Executions for the Holidays.
Executions for the Holidays. Listen to that one.
Yeah.
You know?
Easter's coming.
Easter's coming. Nothing says rebirth more than a good old-fashioned execution. Because it'll just rise back up.
It's another easy. Good Friday. It's just a...
Or if it's the electric chair, Ash Wednesday.
Damn, we are funny.
We're funny. Back to the cabinet.
Executive orders. Here we go.
Executive orders. Here we go. Shit. Yeah. Any more executive orders you'd like to talk about?
Oh no. I think
we're pretty fucking exhausted.
Yeah.
God, this competent presidency is driving me crazy. Yeah. I just like making jokes about Don Jr. and
you want to talk about Pete Buttigieg again?
Oh, yeah. You do.
No, I think I think we got through it.
We did get through it.
Wow. That was a lot. Okay, we had some jokes in there.
We did have some jokes in there.
All right. Do we want to do the immigration plan now?
Yes.
Okay.
We're trudging through this, you assholes. Yeah. And you're not hitting the stop button.
We're getting fucking
You're
there.
Not deleting the podcast. You're listening to it all the way through, whether you like it or not.
Fucking getting right there.
We're talking about immigration.
God damn it.
All right. Immigration. That means when people from another country come into your country. Have a great day. See you next
week. Solved.
Solved. All right. So as you guys know, the previous administration had been particularly hostile to immigrants, particularly, almost exclusively, immigrants of color coming from Central and South America. And the Trump administration did a lot of things to try to reverse progress of immigration law during the Obama administration.
They rebuilt an already existing wall.
Yes.
And then said they'd build it, but didn't.
they built like they pieces of a wall that you could easily dig a hole through, under, or over.
Yeah, or climb.
Or climb. It was a shitty... It was like the Corvair of walls.
Yeah. They put some plaques up.
They did put some plaques up.
Put some plaques up.
Yep.
Mexico did not pay for it.
They did not pay for
it. No, that came out of all of our pockets.
Yes. Billions our stimulus of dollars. Checks.
Billions of dollars. For nothing.
And again, immigration policy, even before the former president, wasn't very succinct. There hasn't been a good, clear path of citizenship. There is definitely a porous border problem. There is illegal immigration that goes unchecked. That can be solved and should be solved by policy, not walls. I don't claim to have those solutions. But we have to start somewhere. And Biden is starting by protecting innocent immigrants who want to make a better life for themselves in the United States and who already benefit our society like a ton.
I have some views on this, Dave.
Go ahead.
It's not that we can't solve the immigration problem, is that it's not economically viable for us. The politicians hoot and holler that our borders are unsecure and immigrants are coming stealing our jobs, but we need them. They're vital.
They're raping your wives too, by the way.
Oh, well.
Yeah, raping your wives.
Yeah, but they're vital to the economy, Dave.
Okay, that's an even Steven.
And if you really wanted to solve the border problem, you could do it almost overnight. You know how?
Drugs. Make them legal, baby. Decriminalize drugs. Well,
that
traffic.
Too. Yeah. That too. But they go back and get more and bring back. Right. So that's not really the immigration problem. You charge every business that you find with an illegal immigrant $20,000 a day for every illegal immigrant, and they will stop hiring illegal immigrants. Therefore, there's no jobs for them to come to. There's not a business in this country that would touch an illegal immigrant if that was enforced. Solved. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we don't want to solve it because it'll cripple our economy.
Absolutely.
It's this insane thing that we have. The fervor of the people is rising up so that they give you these talking points about
exactly.
How these immigrants are coming, but the politicians can't stop them because they need the money for the government.
Right.
So it's...
Yeah. It's a solvable problem that is not going to be solved because of that overlying issue.
But it's going right to be... There. It's going to be a huge...
Right. So...
Hot topic.
Exactly. So, in the meantime, what can we do? And I think some of the things that Biden has laid out makes sense. Paths to citizenships, eligibility for green cards, application for citizenships. You hear a lot of people on the right criticize illegal immigrants because they get everything here for free and they don't pay their taxes. Well, guess what? They're not paying taxes because they are afraid to be seen and known that they're here because they're going to get deported and their families are going to get separated and they're going to go back to these drug-infested countries that they're running from and that they are going to die. They're not sneaking around saying, hey, we're getting free shit and not paying our taxes. So giving people a path to citizenship...
No, that's what the former president did.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Giving people a path to citizenship, a rigorous one, 8 years long. Yeah. I mean... You have to be in temporary status under Biden's plan for 5 years before you can apply for a green card. And then wait 3 years after that to apply to be a citizen. That's a long time. But it's a way.
You know, what would be a great thing for immigrants is if the country that they were immigrating to cultivated them.
Yes.
And made them even better members of society.
Right.
That's what we did. That's what your ancestors did. That's what my ancestors did. And look at us now.
And most of our immigrants that are coming from Central and South America, they are ready for that.
Yes.
They're great workers. They're good citizens. I know a lot of them.
They're running away from the crime.
Right. They're running away from the crime. They're
coming here to cause it.
And they're hiding from our authorities because they don't want to get caught. They don't have a place to go, and they don't have an answer. And America is that place. It always has been, and it still is. Just because the Statue of Liberty isn't facing them doesn't mean that it doesn't apply to them.
Wow, I like that. That was good.
It's pissing me off, because if they were white, oh, come on in.
It's true. It's very true. And you see that constantly. White immigrants are... I mean, you can talk about being the child of a white immigrant all you want. If you're from Italy, Germany, England, Sweden, any of those countries. Oh, yeah, really? That's cool. Right. Oh, I like your food.
We were welcome German immigrants in 1950. Like, hey, how's it going, Von Schlager?
Do you know how to build a rocket?
Right. Apparently you were just on the edge of building a rocket.
Yeah. Come here. Here's the access to everything you need.
So, dreamers are going to be protected again.
And
children born in the United States to illegal immigrants, they're going to have protections again, which is awesome.
And another thing about immigration, real quick, is that if you really wanted them to stop, they need help their countries too.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, we can do a lot. We can, if you really want to stop it, you go to the source.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Or you just let them come here and we'll take their.
Yeah.
They're good people. Yeah.
Immigrants are a key to a diversified economy.
And diversification makes us stronger.
Exactly. And giving them a path to citizenship makes taxpayers. Yay. See, there you go. You get what you want. It adds so much value. They're not taking our jobs.
Yeah.
Most immigrants are not. I don't know of any immigrants that are taking jobs of citizens, non-citizens.
No. I've never seen it.
Right. Right.
So, yeah,
you know, Biden wants to change the term alien to non-citizen.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why is he's afraid of the actual real aliens that are controlling our government?
Well, that's supposed to come out. Wasn't one of the last deals that, like, within 180 days after release, like, Harry Reid has to come down and tell everybody what
is the deal with aliens? And Bernie said if he was president, he would tell us.
Fuck yeah.
You know he would, too.
But he's been so busy being everywhere this past week.
All bundled up.
All bundled up. With his kitten mittens.
You know, a constituent made him this.
I know, I saw that. Yeah, cool. Out of recycled material.
Yeah.
So Vermont. I love it. And now he's selling sweatshirts with that meme on it and donating money to Meals on Wheels.
No shit.
Yeah.
I need to get one. Man.
Yep. Yep. My wife's grandma gets Meals on Wheels, but she's too lazy to put them in the microwave, so we have to throw them away. So we stopped getting Meals on Wheels because they could go to better people.
You don't
feed better them. People, but people who would eat them.
Better people.
Sorry, I don't mean people better suited to eat the meal. That's not a Freudian slip, but it is some kind of a slip. I don't know what it is.
All right. Well.
Oh, God damn it. But again, non-citizen is a specific term that tells you exactly what it means. Alien is a vague term. And I wouldn't necessarily call it derogatory, but it doesn't make you sound good.
No. But what about the Sting song? Where he's an alien in New York. He's an alien, legal alien.
That's a Sting song?
Yeah.
I like Sting, and I don't know that song. Maybe if I heard it.
You'd know it.
Yeah. I'm usually better with the
Englishman in New York.
That's Englishman in New York. Yeah.
Wow, I can't believe I referenced Sting song.
I've heard he's a dick.
I heard he's a complete douchebag, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I do like the police.
Yeah. Good too.
Roxanne.
You ever play a drinking game with that?
No, but I've heard about it. I don't want to die, so I'm not going to.
It fucked me up. Good. In one song, I was done. So... one person drinks when he says Roxanne, one person drinks when he says red light, and there's about a whole minute where he's just going, Roxanne, turn off the red light, Roxanne, turn off the red light. Yeah, it gets brutal.
You want to play it now?
Sure.
Right after this episode, we're playing Roxanne. It's only Tuesday night. Yeah. I only have 3 days of work left.
It'll take us 3 minutes and we'll be asleep.
Right. So that is a little summary, not a lot of detail, but I think there's good news on horizon to get back to Obama-era policy.
Yeah.
Maybe with a little more specificity.
Yeah, and I think some lessons learned.
Absolutely. Yep. Policy-oriented instead of just an idea that they over there, we over here, build wall now.
Yeah.
That's not a policy. There was a lot
of, no. And rhetoric's fine, but when it comes to governing, you have to get details.
Right. And I just love people argue, but if that wall's up, then they can't come over. Okay. I'm just not going to argue with you anymore.
Do you ever see Penn and Teller bullshit?
Yeah.
Do you see the one where they hire Mexicans to build a wall?
I have. And I forgot all about that.
They get illegal immigrants to build a wall. And it's I think they had 18 feet high wall. And they're like, all right, now get through it. And they did it three different ways within 15 minutes. They went under, through, and over.
They engineered and reverse engineered their own fucking wall. Yeah. By the way, we want those kind of people over here.
Right. Yeah.
Fuck yeah. They are going to take our jobs because that's some engineering shit right there.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, wait. That's not taking jobs. That's called competition.
Oh.
Ooh. The cornerstone of capitalism, right, conservatives? Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. We don't want competition from those people.
No.
We want competition from our people.
Right. It's true.
Yep.
Oh,
wouldn't be an episode without the dogs.
Yeah, I think they're giving the signal to kind of wrap it up.
They're like, shut the fuck up. You guys are ridiculous today. We got one more thing to do.
The social media.
Listener of the week.
Oh, almost forgot.
Yeah. Would you like to introduce our listener of the week, Brandon?
Yes, our listener of the week is Amy Martin, Dave Martin's wife.
Mm-hmm.
She is a longtime listener. Mm-hmm. All of 5 months.
All of five months. She religiously listens to us on the way to work every Wednesday and gives us positive feedback.
Yeah.
Every single week. Yep.
And just so you listeners know, I was friends with Dave's wife before I was friends with Dave.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when you guys started dating.
Yep.
Yeah.
God, memories.
I know a lot of shit about you, dude.
Oh, yeah. And, Amy, I apologize, but that was a bet earlier, and you have to follow through on a bet, so.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah. Sorry, Amy.
Yeah, it's true, yeah. Bet's a bet.
After all, he did say Trump.
All right.
Hey, everybody. Oh, that was a great episode of FDR's Wheelchair.
All right, now we do the obligatory social media.
Yep.
Twitter, FDR_wheelchair. We have our Facebook, FDR's Wheelchair. And we have our email. So send us any ideas, anything you want to talk about, any questions you guys have. It is FDR's Wheelchair Podcast@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And this has been
a legacy of FDR and his wheelchair.